Oh man, it's always Baptism Sunday is always exciting. I love it when people take their next steps of faith, and so, oh man, what a great Sunday. It's also my birthday today, so hey, so thank you for those of you who got baptized. We asked Julianne, we're like, did you get baptized because it's my birthday? 44, yeah, I'm old, very old. So today, actually, after service, I am jumping in the old minivan. We're driving all the way to Minnesota today. And so, yeah, it's about, when we checked the GPS this morning, it said it was going to be 9 hours and some change. But I'm thinking that was this morning. So probably it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be quicker, but I don't know. So I'm going to preach for about 2 minutes. Then we're going to go eat cupcakes. And then I'm out of here. No, I'm just kidding. We've been wrestling with this over the last couple weeks. We've been in a series called The Word. And the first week we talked about how the Word of God is God-breathed. And that's important for us because, man, it's his love letter to us. It's his divine words to us, which is awesome. So when we read the Bible, man, it's him breathing out and us breathing in, and it gives us life. And so we talked about that a couple weeks ago from 2 Timothy. And then last week we talked about how the Word of God is infallible. Can you guys say infallible? Infallible is a firm foundation upon which we can stand. We talked about the parable of the wise and foolish builders and how it's authoritative because of its author and because of its provability and because it's unchanging and eternal. And today I'm going to talk about how the Word is authoritative. Can you guys say authoritative? Authoritative. 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 So here we go. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 25 through 31, it says this. Jeremiah speaking, he says, I have heard what the prophets say that prophesy lies in your name. They say, I had a dream. And I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of those lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. God, speak to us this morning through your word. Minister to us this morning through your word. God, we humbly come before you and we ask for your word, which is God-breathed and infallible and authoritative, to take roots in our hearts and do its eternal work in our hearts, God. We thank you. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So let me give you a little bit of context. Maybe you read this passage and you're like, what is going on here? This seems like this guy is kind of rambling about some interesting things and prophets and lies and this and that and the other. And so let me give you a little bit of context. There was this prophet named Jeremiah who was called by God when he was a youth, just a young person. And you can see that God had a plan for Jeremiah actually even before he was born. In fact, he said, while you're still being formed in your mother's womb, I saw you. And so you can see that God had a plan for Jeremiah very early in his life. And throughout the book, you can see that there's this contrast between Jeremiah, or between God and the people of Israel who had become lost. And so he's coming and he's speaking truth to them, and he's known as the weeping prophet, because when you read Jeremiah, it's actually pretty emotional, because he really throws his heart out there and he really gives everything that he has. It's, when you read the book, it's pretty heavy and emotionally charged, and there's lots of passion and vigor, and he's calling out to them. And this this piece of scripture specifically, he is condemning the corrupt leaders and the false prophets in Judah. They had been leading people astray, and there was failed leadership and false shepherds and false prophets who were prophesying in God's name, and they were spreading lies and committing adultery and living in wickedness and leading people away from holiness into wickedness. And so he's like trying to get them back on track, and he's trying to make a differential between the Word of God and lies, and he's really speaking about the authoritative Word of God versus all the lies of the world, all the lies that the prophets were telling. And what he's doing here in the text is he's actually giving a visual. Do you guys like visual aids? Do you guys like object lessons, perhaps? And what he's doing is he's giving a visual of two different things in the text. He's giving a visual of two different things to his listeners. I don't know if you caught it when we read through it, but if you look at it again in Jeremiah, the 29th verse there, he says, "Is not my word..." Let me go back a little bit further. In verse 28, he said, "Let the prophets who has a dream, recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain?" And maybe when we read it the first time, you missed it, but he's making an object. He's kind of speaking of two different things to his listeners. He's speaking of straw. Can you guys say straw? And he's speaking of grain. Can you guys say grain? Can you guys say straw? Grain? Straw grain? Exactly. Thank you. Straw. He's speaking of straw and he's speaking of grain. Now, for us today, we might, maybe not a lot of us come from, farming or whatnot, but straw and grain are two different things. They're very different. Okay? So, straw is a dry, hollow stalk that's a byproduct left after harvesting crops. It has very little nutritional value, and it's used for bedding and mulch. When you put it in manure, it absorbs the manure, and the livestock are able to sit in it. It provides warmth and comfort, but it provides warmth and comfort only temporarily. I'm turning 44 today, but back in 1985, my parents moved out of the city and moved into the country. How old was I? I was 4. And we lived in city, but it was actually a small town, the town of Stuartville. Paul's been there. My parents moved about 5 miles outside of town from Stuartville out in the country. And my dad is a computer programmer, but he wanted to have a hobby farm. And so we moved out in the country, and we started doing what people do when they move out in the country. We ended up getting chickens. Has anyone ever owned chickens before? Man, I miss our chicken. I miss our chicken, Gene. My dad, I found out later that my dad said that instead of buying just all, like, hens, he told me that he bought all roosters. And so we had a bunch of roosters in on the farm, and we wondered why they were so aggressive. We had one named Henry that like chased my mom around all the time, and it's like, "Oh, of course, Dad, you bought all roosters. Who does that?" I don't think he really knew what he was doing. Bought a bunch of roosters, and so that was a lot of fun. And we had pigs. Pigs were lots of fun. We had my dad bought two of them, and they were just these little cute pigs, and they ended up getting bigger, and they would eat anything and everything. And for some reason, my dad left a pair of shoes in the pig pen once. I don't know why. I don't know what my dad was doing, why he took his shoes off, but he put the shoes in the pig pen, and the pigs ate his shoes. And so that was kind of funny. We had goats at one time. We had horses at one time. Audrey isn't here. We had horses at one time, and I remember we had a horse named Dazzle that I'm pretty sure was bipolar. One minute it would be fine, and the next minute, remember we had a birthday party, and the horse saw all these little girls, and the horse ran and jumped the fence and charged the girls, and they all ran in a circle, and I was watching from the porch like, "Whoa!" And it was running in a circle, chasing the girls around, and Dazzle, bipolar, and But anyways, I remember us getting straw for the horses. We'd get it from the local farmer, and we'd get it in bales, and we'd put it up in the barn, and we would take it out, and we'd use it for bedding for the horses and for the goats and whatnot. And straw really, truly is temporary, and it only provides comfort for a little while. It only provides comfort for a little bit of a season, and then before long, you have to use more straw, and you have to use it again, and you have to fluff it, and use it again, and use it again, and straw blows away, and falls away, and it gets trampled on, and it's a never-ending battle when you're dealing with straw, because it's just seasonal, it's temporary. Straw brings comfort for a season, but it only brings comfort for a short time. You know, not everything that brings you comfort is spiritually edifying. Did you know that? You know, not everything that brings you comfort is spiritually edifying. And it's interesting because here in the text, he's saying, he's really kind of, I don't know, like really, like when I think of straw, I think of comfort and something temporary. But if you look at straw in the Bible, straw has a different application in the Bible. I don't know if you've read the book of Exodus before, but when the people of Israel were held in captivity in Egypt, they made bricks out of straw. So straw not only is something temporary and something that brings comfort in the Bible, but also it's something that can bring slavery and something that can bring hardship and pain. And, you know, again, sometimes the very things that seem to promise us comfort are the things that bring us bondage and are the things that bring us hurt and pain. You know, I think about, you know, sometimes it was like, you know, I'm just going to take one drink and it's going to bring me comfort. It's going to bring me happiness and it might bring comfort for a small season. But eventually that thing that you think is going to bring you comfort might actually be the thing that brings you slavery, that brings you oppression. You might say, you know, I'm just going to watch this one thing and it's not going to really make that big of a difference. But that one thing for that one comfort, that one moment, guess what? If you keep on doing that one thing for like it's temporary, it just brings comfort for a season. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring, it's like a temporary, do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like a temporary thing. It's like the world has so many things that it's offering us that are temporary. Comfort, but comfort that we have to like use again and again and again and again. And so here in the text, he's like, listen, what does straw have to do with grain? Here are all these false teachers, these false prophets that were saying things and claiming words from God, but they were actually only bringing words of affirmation and comfort and things that were going to eventually bring bondage, okay? So Jeremiah, again, he's using this object lesson. He's talking about straw, and then he's talking about grain. So again, in verse 28, he says, let the people who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word, can you guys say my word? Say it one more time. My word.
My word.
Who has my word, speak it. What does it say? May he speak it faithfully. May he speak it faithfully in a time where there's falseness, in a time where there's bad things going around, in a time where comfort and temporary pleasures are all around us. He says, listen, and these words were spoken many, 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 many years ago, and these words are still true today. But let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. Don't shy away from it in a compromising world. Don't step back or shrink back or shrink back, but speak it boldly and with confidence. The enemy and the world will want to silence you, but you need to be faithful. Faithful in the good times. Faithful in the bad times. Faithful in every season. Faithful when the bank account is low. Faithful when the bank account is high. Faithful when the car breaks down. Faithful when the car's running perfectly. Faithful in every season. He's telling the readers, the listeners, to be faithful. Who has my word? Speak it faithfully. Is not my word, for what has straw to do with grain? Now straw, again, he's using an object lesson here. Straw is a temporary comfort, but he contrasts that with grain. Grain is unlike straw. Grain is the edible seed of the plant. It provides essential nutrients and carbohydrates. Grain provides the building blocks for animal feed. It's also where we get pasta and bread and pastries and pizza. How many of you guys like pizza? Raise your hand. Oh, I had a Red Baron pizza the other day. It was really bad. I got kind of sick afterwards. Anyway, it provides the building blocks of pizza. It literally is it's the nourishment that sustains us. It's life-giving, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, how God's word is, it's like grain. It's God-breathed. It's life. It's life in a dying world. But then he goes on to say, is it not like fire? Fire, a lot of times we think of fire as being condemnation and destruction and hell and all those things, which of course it does. I remember many years ago, though, when I was a young kid, my parents and I were going to my aunt's house. She lived in Denver, Colorado, just right in one of the suburbs called Aurora in Colorado, in one of the southern suburbs. And we were driving down from Minnesota, and we ended up driving through a portion of Kansas. And when we were going through Kansas, we were driving through Kansas. It was kind of like around dusk time. It was at night. And as we're driving, I'm looking out, and I'm seeing this red glow across the sky, and I'm like, "What is that?" I'm looking, and we're looking, and we noticed that what they were doing in Kansas, and I think they might do this every year, is they were actually having controlled burns in the hills of Kansas. So what they would do is they would start a fire in the fields, and the fire would go and it would burn up all the dead stuff, you know, so that it was safer for the fields, and that way new life could come. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but we were driving at night, and it was like this glow across the hill country of Kansas, across the rolling hills of Kansas, and we could see the fires burning, and we could see the smoke going up, and we're like, oh my goodness, they are having controlled burns in Kansas. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. You know, when we just baptized some people and it was symbolic of, man, when we come into a relationship with Jesus, there are some things that have to die, right? There are some old ways that have to die. There's an old man, there's a flesh man that has to die. And I have been crucified with Christ, in the Bible it says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Right? We put to death the old self and the sin man and the flesh man. And there's a death that happens. There's a fire that happens inside of our heart, like when the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. And when that old man is dead, there's something alive that comes after that. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Death and life. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that bashes the rocks to pieces? I was thinking about Colossians chapter 1, again, the authority of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Let me read that one more time for you. It's like a hammer. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or authorities or rulers or authorities. Think about it. All things were created by him, heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, for his glory. Through him and for him. He is before all things, amen? And in him, all things hold together. Speaking of the supremacy of Christ. Did you know that when you accept the Lord into your heart, and when you follow him, Christ is dwelling in you. That authority is in you. Think about some of the last words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. He says, then Jesus came up to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and the worship team can come back up again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And ironically, we did that today. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you realize this morning that when Christ resides in you, you've been given power and authority. You've been given a hammer that bashes down strongholds. You've been given a hammer that destroys principalities. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places, right? Have you ever wondered why in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the armor of God, how it says that, when you think about it, the only offensive weapon that's mentioned in the armor of God is the sword. And it says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And I think what is happening sometimes is we don't realize the authority that is in us and that is in our hands. God has given us his word. He's given us power in his word. The church has been sleeping. The church has been sitting back. The church has been doing its own thing for a long time. And God is calling us out into his authority. You all right? Right? Do you agree with me this morning? I feel like God is calling up a remnant of the church. It's not, we've been sitting around for too long. We've been eating donuts and drinking coffee in the lobby for too long. God has called us to be offensive in our movement. He's called us to be mighty hammers that bash the rocks to pieces. We have a hammer, but we're letting it sit in the garage. We have a sword, but we've just been sharpening it. God has called us to step out and be authority. He has given you authority. Be bold. Be courageous. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Do not stand idly by and watch. Do not sit back on the sidelines. It's time for us to storm the gates of hell. He has given us the authority. We're not straw. We're not here just to sit in comfort. We're not here to cover up poop, right? We're not here to be fluffed up every now and then. We're not here to just sit back. Man, we have the life-giving power of the breath of God, right? We have the infallible Word of God that is never changing. We have the authoritative Word of God. That's like fire. Man, sometimes it hurts, like when we go in the fire, right? It hurts because things are burning, and Scripture talks about how he's the refiner, and he puts us through the fire to refine us. But he's making us more and more into his image. He's wanting to use us to bring glory to his name, to bring life to a dying world, to be bold, to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Lord, today we come to you knowing that you have given us authority. Today we come to you knowing that you have given us the infallible, the authoritative, the life-giving Word of God. Today, God, we come to you knowing that maybe some of us have been sitting on the sidelines for a long time, but you're calling us out into the fire, God. You're calling us out to make a difference. You're calling us out to get off of the pew and to get into the neighborhood and get into our, maybe sometimes our mission field might even just be across the living room to a family member or to a spouse, God. Today we surrender to you, God. We know that you are in control. We surrender to you, God, and we know that you have given us the authority this morning. What has straw to do with grain? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a mighty hammer that bashes the rocks to pieces? Lord, we give you all the praise. God, continue to speak to us as we sing this song.